Our Father and our God, we come into your presence by blood of Jesus. Father, we confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We stand in awe of your mercy. Mercy to uphold us as we go into your word today. The word says that unto the Lord shall the gathering of your people be. Wherefore, as I go into the world to share your word with your people, I duck under covering of said spiritual fathers, Lord, stripping myself of every confidence I might have, my knowledge or ability to pray. Lord, they are very inadequate. I place all of my confidence in your mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus and the help of the Holy Spirit, that through covering, Lord, you cause your word to comfort out of me like streams of living water, causing our wills to become more humble, causing our minds to be more enlightened with the revelation knowledge of Christ's life, causing our emotions to be more controlled by the fruit and the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, as I speak, Lord, I ask that you help me to speak as an oracle of God. Help me to be concise and precise, to redeem the time, not to say things that are unnecessary. As your word goes forth, let it bring forth healing in the hearts of your people. Lord, let our eyes be enlightened concerning our purpose and our destiny, that, Lord, we will be doers of the word and not hearers only. Let your word go forth in power and accuracy, granting us grace to be doers of the same. Our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we stand in awe of you, and we thank you ahead of time for that you will do in our midst today. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As we go into the word this morning, we'll be trusting Lord for mercy to be faithful. We've been in the book of Timothy now. We've been studying this book for some time, and the Lord has been explaining some things to us. And the last time we spoke, we've been talking about the ministry of an apostle. From the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1, we spoke extensively during the first teaching about the ministry of an apostle, how you can recognize an apostle. So it's not everybody that has the tag of an apostle or calls himself an apostle that is an apostle. We spoke extensively about that in our first teaching on this book. Then we also spoke extensively last time we taught on this book of Timothy about the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. You know, the Bible says that Paul, let's read together, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. We spoke extensively about this last time we spoke, and just to recap, just to talk about some of these things, to revise them briefly, we said that this book of Timothy was written by the Apostle Paul to his son, his spiritual son Timothy. And this book of Timothy with the book of Titus are called the pastoral epistles, and they contain special instructions for church leaders. One is for them to refute false teaching in the church. At that time, people are beginning to bring heresy into the church of Ephesus. And then also to supervise public worship and the affairs of the growing Ephesian church. Praise the Lord. And then also the assignment given to Timothy was for him to appoint church leaders. We'll be talking about that today. You see, you can't just wake up one day and start a church or because you feel you are called. So this was the assignment that God, through the Apostle Paul, gave to Timothy for the Ephesian church. And we also spoke extensively about the hope. We said something that hope is the desire of love. That is what God, who is love, wants to give, but we have not yet seen in physical manifestation. This is what Pastor taught us many about some months ago, about hope. What hope is. And we said that, let's say to ourselves, let's say again, say hope desires, faith creates, and then love gives. Let's say it once again, hope desires, faith creates, and then love gives. It is this hope in our hearts that gives us joy when we are down. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and hope maketh not ashamed. And we spoke also that there are three levels of hope. We spoke about the hope of this lifetime, the promises of the Bible that God has given us in lifetime. Things like you want to get married, have children, you want to buy a house, and things like that. There are temporal blessings. There is a hope that God has promised us. We can have hope for those things this lifetime. The second hope also that we spoke about is the hope of our calling, which is to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ in this lifetime. And then we also spoke a bit about the hope of the resurrection. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, and we extensively dealt with that by the grace of God, about the hope of our calling in Christ, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Very important. So, like we said earlier on, the utmost desire in God's heart is to give us that hope of our calling. God desires to give us the fullness of Christ. The Bible says the fullness of Christ dwelt in Christ bodily. That is what God wants to give every Christian. That is the hope of our calling. That is what you'll be striving for, to attain unto. Once you can reach onto that hope or lay hold onto that hope, like we said the other, that hope now drags you into the most holy place. Then you are fulfilling your purpose and your destiny. It will be a shame for you to realize the hope of temporal blessings, have a wife, have children, go to school, which unbelievers attain unto without being born again, without realizing this hope of his calling. Praise the Lord. Now today we will be going to, moving on to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I will start from verse 2. Praise the Lord. Let's put it on the board. Trusting the Lord to help me. Verse 2, please. Let us read together. Unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Read one more time for emphasis. Unto Timothy, my son, my own son, in the what? Faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I will, by the grace of God, dwell on that aspect of sonship today. Unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith. As we all know, Paul was never married. Not because he was not okay, but he just chose to. The Bible talks about three kinds of eunuchs you have in the Bible. Those that were born as eunuchs, those that made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of God's sake, and those that were made eunuchs of men, like was done unto Daniel. So you see, Paul now comes and says, unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father. Already we all know what mercy is. Mercy is God's compassionate disposition to give us life from the outside. And then grace is what enables us and gives us life from the inside, which only Christians can receive. Praise the Lord. So he said, unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith. Very, very important. As we all know, if you look at the book of Timothy, you see, we should not only read this book as an historical account. We should read it as, what is God trying to tell me today? Timothy was not Paul's son in the natural. Timothy's mom was a Jew, and the father was a Greek, I believe, yes. You see, but there came a time when Paul picked Timothy, not as a son. You see, you never start as a son, even though when God speaks and calls you, like the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that, told me, he said, he shall be called the Son of God. But there's a process of becoming a son of God. Timothy did not become Paul's son, vitally, so to speak, when he was called under his ministry. It took a period of time. So, what are we trying to say? Sonship in the kingdom is not by natural birth. Let's say together, sonship in the kingdom of God is not by natural birth. Or else, if we are so, then Moses will have put, what's his name, of Eleazar and his other son, to replace him when he was going to die. But God did not allow it. We know the story. It was Joshua that ended up becoming the next leader. So sonship is not by natural birth. That does not mean that natural children cannot become sons, spiritual sons. That's what we are saying. They can. God wants everybody to become a son. But it's not by natural birth. That is the original plan of God. After the fall of man, he told Israelites, he said, listen guys, he said he wanted a king. He said, look, I don't want to give you a king. He said, once you have a kingship system, it's a Saul system. He said, because what begins to happen is that the present king will want to give it to his own son. Either he qualifies or he does not qualify. That's why he saw Isaac, who wanted to give the inheritance to Esau. Esau did not qualify, but because of the, you know, Esau's venison, he wanted to give it to him, but God had to ride and overrule that. So when Israel said he wanted a king, God did not want to give them a king, because he knew that ultimately what will happen is this: people just transfer those that do not qualify. It's like if you want to go to the bank to go and get a job or something, you have certain qualifications. You can't go there and say my father is this, even though in Nigeria it happens, but it ought not to be so. So what are we saying? It is not by natural birth. That was on the cross. Lord Christ says something. Let's open our Bibles to the book of John chapter 19, verse 26. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. John chapter... Thank you. 19, verse 26. Let's look at that. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom what he loved, he said unto his mother... What did he say? Let's look at that. Woman, behold... thy son. Next verse. Then said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. You see, on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ did not want his man to make the mistake of relying on Judah and the others and James at that time. So he said, mother, behold means see my revelation. This is your son. That is the only sons that can enable you to fulfill your destiny. Peter and James and the others at that time could not have helped Mary. So he said, behold your son. And he said, son, behold your mother. What was he trying to say? Say, John, listen to me. Your natural mother is no longer your natural mother. Understand what I'm trying to say? This is now your mother, Mary. Okay, you, mother Mary, behold your son. So that is what Lord Christ did on the cross. And as we will look at the life of Timothy, that is exactly what happened. Paul said, my own son in the faith. It did not start like that. How did Timothy start? Let's open our Bibles, the book of Acts chapter 19, verse 22. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Let's read together. So, he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him. Who and who? Timotheus and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. The Bible says that Paul sent two people that ministered unto him. We are looking at Timothy today because we are studying the book of Timothy. What happened to Timothy? That Paul could come to a place whereby he said, my own son in the faith. Ministry there is not talking about the minister of God. He's talking about running errands for Paul to make sure that the man of God could do what God called him to do. That is, when Jesus Christ came into Peter's house, Matthew chapter 8, verse 15, and prayed for Peter's mom and computed on the board and healed her. The Bible says that immediately she rose up, and what did she do? She ministered unto them. So the ministry we're talking about is not like, okay, I'm ministering like you are preaching. No. This is how Paul, Timothy started. He started as a servant, a minister, running errands for Paul. But as we see, as we continue, Timothy's destiny was hid inside Paul. You see, by the time Paul committed the Ephesian church to Timothy, it had already been written in the scriptures that that is how that promise in his life will come to pass. Are you following me? So, you see, that is what happens when we all start. We don't start as great men of God. We start as servants. Look at that in great detail today. That is why earlier, last time we talked about this, I mentioned the scripture, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 21. Talking about the ministry of an apostle. Or let me say, the fathering ministry. We need fathers. There is the death of fathers in the body of Christ. The Bible says, you have not many fathers. I dare say also that you have not many sons. Yes, if you don't have many fathers, then you will not have many sons. Are you following me? So, Proverbs 29, verse 20, what does it say? It says that, let's look at he that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall do what? Have him become his son at length. You see, when God brings people to the house, he does not, they are sons potentially, but they start as servants. So the assignment of that father or that apostle is to delicately bring up that servant so that he can become a son. That is the end product. It's like in the key making industry. When you see those are cut keys and it's a blank steel initially. Then they put that steel under the machine and it begins to cut the ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka. If that key were to have a voice at that time, the key will quit. I say, no, this is too painful. You see, but what God does is this. God does not want us to quit. Because as a servant, the ultimate purpose is to become a son. So then when after they finish cutting that key, what happens? That key becomes a master key. That can open and can lock. That is our destiny. So when God brings people under this fathering ministry we are talking about, he brings them in as servants. That's why the Bible says that just for you to call yourself a father, you must have endurance and patience. You need to tolerate people. Like Lord Jesus Christ, you say, oh, faithless and perverse generation. But he could not let them go. The Bible says, a bruised reed, it shall not break.
A flaming flax shall not quench. Are you following me? So you see, that's the process that we have to go through. Why? Because if we don't go through that process, we'll not end up becoming sons, God forbid, have not a portion that God can entrust something important to, like he did to Timothy. Let's go at the scripture in the book of Proverbs chapter 17 verse 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Bible says that a wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame. You see, you can have a son, a natural son, who automatically ought to have the right to the inheritance. But if he does not do what he's supposed to do, he will not qualify. And God will not give it to him. Are you following me? Like, he did not allow Esau to get that promise. Are you following me? So you see, this is what happens when we all begin. We all start as servants because of a sin nature that dominates the flesh. And as we continue under this ministry, like Timothy did under Paul, after a period of time, he became Paul's son. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's begin that. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Kusiato. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, that is, if you refuse to grow, God forbid, you will die a servant. Though you are Lord of all. I mentioned a situation I've seen, it occurred to me, I just mentioned the person. The situation I can remember clearly to me. Let me just explain what I'm trying to say. You see, why do most parents that are rich, you know, maybe they have a big business, they will be, why do they send their children to school? So someday that child will finish and then graduate, be educated, you know, so that he can probably take over that father's business. But if that child refuses to grow and goes to school, he may play football, he may be the best footballer, he may do all the other what we call extracurricular activities, but if he does not focus on that major thing of getting a good certificate and a good degree, when it's time for him to inherit, if they are reasonable parents, they will not give it to him. They will look for somebody that is qualified. They will put that thing under trustees and say, okay, as far as we are concerned, you have failed as a son. So they will say, okay, just give him so and so amount to survive. But God does not want us to end up that way. Are you following me? So you see, God wants us to grow, to become sons in the kingdom. Praise the Lord. So you see, that is what happens. We all start as servants. And like I said the other time, we are to be under tutors and governors until the appointed time of the Father. That means there is a time appointed. What we are talking about is there is a time frame. There's a time that the master is going to come into his garden and look at the tree, whether there are fruits on it. And I said, when he looked at the tree and there was no fruit, he cursed that tree. He said, no man eat any fruit out of you any longer. It's like when I was in secondary school, you used to have for one, we spent 5 years. There's a time you can say, as soon as the time I will finish, I will graduate. Very soon, life will not have there. By the grace of service, by the grace of God, they will give them, all of them will line up. I give him a certificate. I know that they will call in people, this one, he got this one, so and so, A stars. Everybody will stand up and be clapping. And their parents will be there. Then, God forgive me, there will be some people, all they will talk about is that he was in the volleyball team. And their parents paid the same price to make sure they get a good degree. How do you think those parents will feel? Happy? No, discouraged. But is that the plan? They had the same teachers. They had the same food. They had their talk packs. But some of them lost focus. Help me, Lord Jesus. They lost focus. Why? They did not concentrate on the things that matter. They left the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. And they concentrated on things that were not important for God's sake. What were they doing? Is it volleyball that is going to make you inherit? Is it playing basketball that make you inherit? Bible says that these things you ought to have done. And not leave that undone. Let's come to the house. Did God call you to be playing the piano alone? Is that your destiny? Then why do you want to spend your entire life learning to play the piano? God wants you to become a son. So you can sit behind that piano and play that piano exactly the way the Lord just has to play it. So can you imagine if you spend your entire life? You know what that thing does? It's competition. You start wishing that the person playing the piano will not come so you can play. Then you spend your entire life dressing up so you can look good on the camera. You miss purpose and destiny. See, because your destiny is not to play the keyboard. Your destiny is not to be an usher. Your destiny is to become conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you become conformed to that image, then you can play the piano like Jesus has to play it. Paul had more than one son in the kingdom. He had Titus. He had Demas. He had John Mark. And he had Timothy. He said, Demas has left me. John Mark left for a while. He said, bring him back. But Timothy stayed. Timothy stayed. If you're John Mark, you had better return. There's room for you. Your destiny is to become a son. Your destiny is to become a son. Help me to hurry up, Holy Spirit. So you see, that is our destiny. Sonship is important to God. It is only sons that inherit. If you are not a son, you cannot inherit. What do we want to inherit? The spirit without measure. I'm getting ahead of myself. Praise the Lord. So we all start as servants under tools and governors until the appointed time of the fathers. Praise the Lord. So like when I was praying, God told me something. He said, many do not make it until the time appointed of the father. It's so unfortunate. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. If everybody were to make it, if I have a church of 5,000 people, yeah, at a certain period of time, you have 5,000 children. But it's never so. And there's a wind of change that is blowing. In the book of Psalm 45, it says that, instead of our fathers, I will give you children. So we need to wake up and understand what purpose is. It's becoming a son. Praise the Lord. Many, like I said, they do not wait until the time appointed of the father. I mean, they don't graduate. They drop out. Job said something. Job 14:40 said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change comes. All the days that are appointed time. If you can't play with this message, there is a time that is set for you to graduate spiritually. And when that time comes and you are not ready, believe me, you're not going to bring that certificate. But we all graduate in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? Praise the Lord. Functionally, how do we become fathers? At the back of our sons, brother, let's keep going back to that scripture. It says, Timothy, my own son in the faith. Timothy, my own son in the faith. There's no time to talk about how he spoke about Timothy, how good he was, that he had the same mind with him. I follow me. How do we functionally, how do we become sons? As we start as servants, Pastor has taught us before, when you become princes and you become kings. Princes are kings, I call them sons. But the moment you become a prince, you begin to enter into sonship. Praise the Lord. So who is a servant? You see, when we talk about servants in the kingdom, don't think about somebody sweeping the floor. It's not necessarily Pastor Dio that is carrying pastor's bag and giving you to bring you to church on Sunday. Many have done it and have left. That's not what makes you a servant of God. It is the same nature in your flesh that determines whether you're a servant or you become a son. Let these definitions be clear in our mind. So you don't substitute brass for gold. Is it wrong to take pastors to church? No. Is it wrong to serve in the house of God? No. But as you are doing those physical activities, you must be learning from them. And I told Mary, said, Mary, that which she has chosen, no man shall take away from her. Both of them are serving Jesus, but one at a different level. One was busy cooking, and the one was busy listening to the word of Jesus Christ, that he might become a son. And see, when the rubber hits you, the only son that can save you. But when God is speaking about Timothy, I was Stephen, that they stoned him. Three people were stoned in the Bible. Stephen, Paul, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Stephen had just started as a servant. He was a deacon. there wasn't sufficient covering. They stoned him and he died. Paul was growing up. In fact, when they stoned Paul, Paul was just a young man. So they laid the feet of the young man, Paul. Thank you, sir. But you see, there's something that happened when the brethren gathered together and they prayed for him. He stood up 60-fold. The Lord Jesus Christ was, they wanted to stone him, but they could not. Look at the levels of growth we are talking about. Listen, that's why when you are a servant, you must learn to abide under covering. If you don't want to die prematurely, we will not die prematurely. Are you following me? So you don't do gra-gra like Stephen and stretch yourself beyond measure. I can't wake up there and say, I'm going to go and preach somewhere in America. So Stephen died. Paul was raised up because he was still growing. Lord God, they could not stone him. And everyone other is covering who were not perfect, like that woman caught in adultery. They were going to stone her, but because of the covering of a son, God delivered that woman. So it is very important. I want us to see the emphasis today is on sonship, growing to become a son. Praise the Lord. So let's put scripture behind this. Who is a servant? I said those that are still controlled by mostly by the sin nature in the flesh. John chapter 8 verse 34. So you don't think I'm just speaking ground. Pastor has taught us these things before, but let's just look at it. Let's just examine them. John chapter 8 verse 34. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's say God. Jesus answered them, "Very, very, I say unto you, what whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin." That's what makes you a servant. The sin nature that dominates you. A son can be called by God to wash his disciples' feet. He remains a son, not a servant. That's what Jesus Christ did. If you are there then and you didn't know it was the Son of God, and you saw washing the disciples, you say, ah, this guy is a servant too. When he said that the greatest in the kingdom is a servant, he was not talking again about, you know, physical activity. Talking about those that have grown to serve God with their spirits. Romans chapter 6 verse 16. Let's put this one more scripture. It's a matter of two or three verses. Let every word be established. What makes you a servant is the sin nature that dominates you. Are we there? Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey is servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Praise the Lord. So when God brings you into the house like this, you start as a servant. You just got him born again. You have the life of God in your spirit. But no, the influence on the soul and the mind is not that much. So you are a kind of Christian. It's a natural consequence. It's a natural step. You cannot jump to become a son. Praise the Lord. The second aspect is becoming princes. Pastor has taught all this before. Who is a prince? A prince is somebody that learned to crucify his flesh, to dominate the same nature. His nature is still there. He's still working on it, but that nature is no longer controlling him. He will manifest occasionally, but he will step on it. Let's look at the life of Jacob. First of all, Romans chapter 6 verse 14 says that sin shall not have what? Dominion over you. Let's say that sin shall not have dominion over you. So as a servant, how come sin will not have dominion over you when you're under covering? That is what covers you and shields you and dominates, but the rule in the midst of your enemies. So that aspect of the sin nature does not, why? Because you're undercovering. Not because you have attained unto sonship yet. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the life of Jacob. Genesis chapter 32 verse 10. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord. Genesis chapter 32 verse 10. Please let's hurry up. I need your help, Holy Spirit. Genesis, are we there? Let's read again. What does it say? I'm not worthy of the least, this is Jacob talking, of the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Jordan is very important. That is where God stands and waits to release the spirit of that measure. It's a place of death. Elijah and Elisha had to cross it. Lord Jesus Christ had to go there. The entire Israel had to go there. When the priest stood still in Jordan. So at this time, he had crossed over. Now he was coming back. He had dealt with that sin nature. Or MC God had dealt with that nature in him. Let's also read verse 22 because of time. 22, please. not princes now. What it means to be a prince, I've mentioned, he said, those that have dominion over sin. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. Jabbok's daughter get tributary of Jordan. Because of time, let's keep reading verse 23. 23, please, let's hurry up. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent them over and sent over all that he had. You see, sonship is not, it's not initially a corporate thing. It's not that, okay, let's join hands together. Then as this person becomes automatically, just like in school, they're not going to wake up one day and say, give everybody a star. It's not possible. While they are spending the midnight oil studying, in those days, you are busy going for party. I want to get a star. That's why he said, he sent them over. Guys, this is about me. I don't know about you. Rachel, go across. So, go across. Have an assignment with God. Why? Because it's appointed time I come. And he could not miss it. Next verse. Thank you, Lord. Next. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Which day? This day we are in. That's why we ought to do the appointed time. Next verse, please. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. And he wrestled with him. Next verse. Because of time. And he said, let me go, for the day break it. And he said, I will not let it go, except thou bless me. He understood the importance of the times we are living in. He said, God, I'm not going to let you go. Because if this day breaks, and God releases you that measure, and you've been in school all these years, and by reason of time you ought to be a teacher, and you are not, it will be evident to everybody that Jacob is still Jacob. But that will not be a portion in Jesus. Next verse, please. Help me, Lord. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Jacob means trickster, supplanter. Let me put it this way. Somebody has been ruled by the same nature, a servant. But what happened? Verse 28. And he said, thy name, let's together, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but what? Israel. For what? As a prince, as thou power with God and with men, and as what? Prevailed. We are all going to prevail in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is our destiny. The Bible now says in the book of that same verse in 31, it says that after that period, it said the sun arose on Jacob. When he was going to Laban's house, when he had the dream, the Bible said the sun was set. But after his character was changed and he learned to dominate the sin nature, what happened? The Bible said, and as he passed over Peniel, the word sun rose upon him and he halted upon his thigh. God had changed his walk. The book of Malachi says, what of Malachi 4:2 says? It says, the son of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. So all those infirmities, those grave clothes, when you begin to wrestle with God in the place of intercession, what will happen? The son of righteousness will arise with what? Healing in his wings. Now the last thing you talk about is becoming a king. You start as a servant. Let's say you start as a servant. You become a prince. And ultimately become a king. That is the ultimate. So I've set my son, my kings, upon my holy hill of Zion. He later talks on, he says that, kiss the son, lest he be angry with you. He's talking about sonship. And the best example we can look at is Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to our Bibles to the book of John chapter 18, verse 20, 37. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Pilate therefore said unto him, let's read together. Pilate therefore said unto him, are thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou seest that I'm a king. Let's say, to this what? End. Let's personalize this. To this what? End. Was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear what? Witness unto the truth. Let's stop there. It's only kings that can bear true witness to the truth. Without any shadow of turning. That is the end. The end of our faith, which is the salvation of our soul. You start as a servant. You become a prince. Then ultimately you become what? A king. They cannot bear witness to the truth. That is our destiny. When Timothy started as a servant, he became a son. You see, why couldn't Paul commit the Ephesian church to Demas or to John Mark? They refused to become sons, to fulfill their destiny under Paul. Demas left. John Mark left and he came back. he did not stay under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. The Ephesian church was the church in those days that had the highest revelation. And God found Timothy faithful through Paul to hand over that church to him. You see, when God gave through Paul Timothy that church to handle, it was a very big assignment. Because he committed the souls of all those people into his hands. There was a day, I had some time ago, I had some difficulty. And I was praying, and God told me. He gave me the story of David. When he was narrating the story of when the lion and the bear snatched the sheep. And God spoke to me. He said, if David had slept off on his watch, that bear and the lion would have killed the sheep. And you know what would have happened? David would have had to give an account to his father. Because the sheep were his father's, not his. Somewhere in the book of 1 Timothy, this happened in relationship to me. And God spoke to me in 1 Timothy. He said, that which has been committed to you, I think in 2 Timothy 2, he said, keep by the Holy Ghost. He said, that good thing that has been committed to you, keep by the Holy Ghost. Talking to me about my wife. But he that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtained the favor of the Lord. So in 2 Timothy 2, 1, it says, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Ghost. What is the good thing that God has committed to you? Your children, your wife, those all are the sphere of your influence as God, as pastor has taught us. We are all going to give an account. But David was not asleep. The moment the bear took, he ran after it. Why? Because I'm not going to tell that something happened to the sheep. Jesus Christ said the same thing. He said, if one a shepherd should lose one sheep, he said, we'll leave the 99 and go and look for that one on the mountain. And make sure that he brings it back. He was telling the Lord, his father at the end of his ministry, he said, oh, Father, all you have given me, I have kept them all, except some of the partition. All of us, at different levels, we give an account to whatever God has committed to you, the souls of men. That is contention between the Babylonian spirit, the trade in souls of men. So you can't afford to go asleep on your watch. You can't say, I slept off. They come back and say, what happened today? I didn't know God, I just taking it easy. Then a bear came and took a one sheep. David, go back. And it goes the second time, the lion comes and takes, your father's sheep. We shall all give an account. We all give an account of everything God has committed at different levels. Praise the Lord. So what I was saying, that is our purpose, what is our destiny. Revelation 1 says that he has called us to be kings and priests unto our God. See, but you can't effectively keep the sheep God has given you until you become a king. But I say, where the word of a king is, there is power. So the earlier we grow into sonship, then the better for us. That God can commit us towards the true riches of the kingdom. Souls of men. Praise the Lord. Are we following me? So God is calling us to make the transition from servants to priests and ultimately become kings, that we might receive the fullness of our inheritance. That is our inheritance that God wants to give us. But it will only be given to sons. However, at Jordan, the Bible says the heavens opened and the word came and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That's what God wants to do. But see, this operates on a simple principle. It's found in the book of Luke chapter 16, verses 10 to 12. It says that he that is faithful in little shall be made ruler over much. What is little? The earnest that's been given unto us. It says that he that is faithful in the unrighteous mammon shall be, if I'm not being faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will give you the true riches? That if you have been unfaithful in finances, you would think God will come and begin to share with you about the mysteries of the kingdom? It's not possible. He said that you have not been faithful in that which another man's, who will give you your own? It's the unction that we enjoy under covering. If you have not been faithful under that grace, under that unction, I said that one day I will inherit the spirit of damage. Never. That is the principle on which he operates. He operates under covering. I was very blessed some time ago when Promise was sharing, just He came and he said, Pastor Abraham, he said that God showed him something. I said, what is it? He said that the what covering does is to keep you when you are growing, so I can be rooted and grounded in love. So you can grow and take root downward. He said, because if you don't take that the advantage of covering and take root downward and you don't grow, sometimes they will remove that covering. And when they remove that covering, believe me, rain this morning, the floods are coming. The winds are going to blow. And the rains are going to fall. And you're going to test those three aspects of your life that Papa told us many years ago. So if you are not rooted and grounded in love, or in that process of you being a servant, you are not under covering, God forbid, such a person will be swept away. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So we see, that is what we are trying to say. We need to stay under cover. That is how only how you can grow from being a servant to becoming a son. And God wants us to become a son. And it can only be done under cover. There will come a time, folks, that they will do a test. A spiritual DNA test. Is the way God gave it to me. They will test what is your spirit. That is what makes you born again. The life of God. That is baby to little child. After some time of staying under covering, they will test what is in your soul. The divine nature attitude. That nature, how much has it influenced your soul? That is young man, little child to young man. Then finally, when you become a king, they will test what is your flesh, spirit, soul, and body. That's what Pastor has been touching to us about in from 2 Corinthians. That the life of Christ might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. They will come and check it. By reason of time, you should be a little child or a young man. But all you have is the divine nature in your spirit. God wants the whole something to be leavened from that parable. Praise the Lord. You see again that the Lord Jesus Christ, it was a race for time. He was not only called to preach gospel to the poor. His second assignment was to make sure he raised up sons that will continue. It's a twofold thing. I will explain to you what Mama shared some time ago. It's a twofold thing. It wasn't only to preach the gospel to the poor, lay hands on the sick. No. The most important assignment was for him was raise up Peter, James, and John to make sure they become sons for continuity. Same thing with Paul. He was not only to preach the mystery of the gospel, be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. His second and most important assignment was to make sure that he raised up sons that will continue. Are you following me? That is his destiny. It is like Mommy said, she said that it is God's good succession plan. Inbuilt in it is continuity. Let's say it together. It is God's good succession plan. Inbuilt in it is continuity. That's the only way this work can continue. That's the only way a family business will continue. As a rich man some time ago, very rich, I won't mention his name, but he aspired to become president of the nation of Nigeria. He died. The moment he died, all his businesses folded up. There was no son to continue. I won't mention his name, but you see, there's nothing today that the man had in his name that's alive. Why? Because there was no son. He had many children. He had many children, but no son. Everything folded up. Why? No continuity. That is God's desire. The only way that God can continue with this work and redeem the earth is for him to raise up sons in the image of his own son. He wants to bring many sons to glory. Praise the Lord. What are the characteristics of a son? So when you see a son or when you become a son, you know I'm a son. So you're not just doing something that you're a son. Sons, number one, they please the father. Let's look at that. Sons, please the father. That's point number one. Luke says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Point number two, his sons that receive his spirit without measure. I'm talking about the fullness here. Those that are going out to become sons, they inherit the borrowed anointing that have been taught. Genesis chapter 25, verses 5 and 6. Let's look at Isaac. Sons please the father. And now also sons inherit the spirit that measure. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Genesis chapter 25, verses 5 and 6. Let's read together. And Abraham, is the father, gave all that he had unto Isaac. Next verse. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and did what? Sent them away. A servant abided not in the house forever, but a son will abide to carry the father's business and to continue for continuity. And then the third thing is that sons are always led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Bible says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. That means that if the Lord does not order our steps, somebody else will order it. And it is these sons that the entire world is waiting for. The entire Christianity, the whole earth is waiting, traveling, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Sons that will inherit and manifest the glory. Praise the Lord. Now, how do we become sons? How do we tie this to pleasing the Father? 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, amplified. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's look at that. So, since Christ suffered in the flesh for us, for you, arm yourselves. Put on the armor of God. Arm yourself. Let that be part of your equipment. Arm yourselves with the same thought. It's a mindset and purpose, patiently to suffer rather than to do what? Fail to please God. We're not talking about suffering sickness here. We're talking about crucifying the flesh. For whosoever has what? Suffered in the flesh, having the mind of Christ, is done with what? Intentional sin. And has stopped pleasing himself and the world and pleases God. What are we saying? What we are saying is the only way you can please the Father, your spiritual Father, and God, is when you dominate that sin nature. If you do not, that sin nature will run rings around you and disappoint you. It has disappointed me many times. Now I begin to understand that if you want to please the Father, you to get up early, a great hour before dawn, and pray and dominate that sin nature. So you can please the Father. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He didn't have a sin nature in him, but it came against him from the air. So every morning he will get up and pray. It's not an emotional business. It's a spiritual contract. You understand what is going on. When the first flesh begins to lust against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, you stand against him in place of prayer. Then you overcome him that he may please the Father one, that he may head starting with the bold anointing. And then finally, that I might be led by the Spirit as sons of God. So just like in closing, just like God through Paul committed the Ephesian church to Timothy, God in this set of Zion's people wants to give unto his own sons the Spirit without measure. And be given to those that are pleasing. This is where I believe God wants us to stop today. God wants to release upon his people the Spirit without measure. But will only be given to those that have learned to crucify their flesh, that have grown from servants to become princes, and then sons under covering, they can partake of the anointing. That's the whole essence of what we experience in our midst of Zion Church Fellowship, arrows in God's quiver. That's the whole essence of what God is trying to do. He picks them, puts them in his quiver, makes them a polished shaft. Initially, they're not polished. We're going to make them a polished shaft. Isaiah 49. The Lord has made me a polished shaft. They now release those arrows. They are his sons. They go into the ends of the earth. They don't have to preach the gospel physically like we are doing. They may be in businesses. They may be prime ministers like Daniel. But what? They are polished shafts in the heart of a mighty man. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. The Lord and Father of
give a foolish ways. Reclothe us in a rightful mind. In pure light, our service find. In deeper reverence play. In deeper reverence play.
Drop thy still dews of quietness. Respond to the Lord as we've been taught. Let's put one hand on our hearts. There is the other hand on the Lord as we pray. Let's talk to God in our hearts. Let us understand what is going on. Let us see that God wants to raise up sons in this end time, in the image of His Son. That we have to grow from servants to princes and then become kings, sons on Zion's holy hill. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's ask for mercy. Let's ask for grace. To stay under covering, shall be counted worthy of his high calling. Like Timothy was counted worthy by Paul, and he committed the Ephesian church to him. Verse 8, Heavenly Father, I confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of your purpose of becoming a son under covering, that I might receive firstly the bold anointing and then the fullness of the same under covering of said spiritual fathers. I come to you and I ask for mercy. I come to you to receive grace in sufficient measure to enable me to be faithful under covering, faithful in using the earnest of the spirit that has been given unto me, faithful in the unrighteous mammon, and also be faithful in that which is another man's, that I may grow to receive the fullness of the Spirit without measure. In Jesus' name, let's pray in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus.